Turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the 50th Psalm, and I will read all 23 verses of Psalm 50 as we begin to consider God's Word this morning. Psalm 50 is a psalm of judgment. It's a psalm when God's people were in rebellion against Him, and yet it is also a psalm of glorious thanksgiving. And we indeed were once in rebellion against God and have great cause for thanksgiving because of redemption.
Amen.
Psalm 50, and I begin with verse 1. And it's hard to read this psalm without stopping and just starting to preach as you read because they're glorious words. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken. Wow, we could close our Bibles right there and we've had a sermon. The mighty God, even Jehovah, the I Am, the one and only, has spoken. The mighty God has spoken, even the Lord has spoken, and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about Him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that He may judge His people. Gather my saints, gather my saints together unto me, and those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God shall judge Himself. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been made continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goat out of thy fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the foals of the mountain, fowls of the mountain, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God saith, What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Well, what a verse for our country today. Seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. That's a gay pride march, isn't it? Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. That's every politician in Washington. Thou sittest and speaketh against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Though thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Let us pray this morning. Father, bless us as we consider thy word this morning. Father, I pray that you would help my stumbling, bumbling lips, Father, to clearly read and expound thy word. Father, we thank you that for the testimony of Paul, that he came not with excellency of speech. For Father, the word of God is not dependent on the eloquency of the preacher, but the word of God is dependent upon the Spirit of God, who is its interpreter. Father, bless thy word to our hearts this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is our Thanksgiving Sunday. Most of us, probably all of us, celebrated Thanksgiving at some time this week. Most of us probably on Thursday. Thanksgiving is a uniquely American holiday. Canada does celebrate a Thanksgiving Day, but it's a uniquely American holiday. However, it did not begin with the United States. It began actually in 1621 with the Pilgrims. And really, it didn't begin there because there is strong evidence that the Reformers celebrated days of thanksgiving to God. Mm-hmm. And it may even go back further than that. There's some accounts of voyages into the northern part of North America and a Thanksgiving day of Thanksgiving being celebrated. But folks, Thanksgiving did not become because men decided to have a day of thanks. Thanksgiving became about because men acknowledged that God did it. Mm-hmm. That God was their Savior. And I think the first significant use of the word thanksgiving is found in our King James Bible. It's mentioned earlier than this passage, but I have you turn to the book of Leviticus in chapter 7. We find the word thanksgiving in our scriptures earlier than this, but this verse, I believe, really stands out in Leviticus 7, verses 11 and 12. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. You'll notice in those two verses the connection with the peace offering and the thanksgiving offering. The peace offering was a celebration of God. It was not an offering of repentance. It was not an offering of petition. But rather the peace offering was brought of acknowledgement that there's peace between me and God. Glory. That God has created this. And so it was an offering of thanksgiving. And folks, that's what the Pilgrims did. Mm-hmm. They realized, we would have perished in this wilderness if it were not for God.
That's right.
It's what the Reformers did. We would have perished here if it were not for God. Mm-hmm. And we find this same thing in the children of Israel. So turn with me to Numbers 31. I'm going to have you turn to a lot of passages this morning because I want you to see them. In Numbers 31, we find the account of Israel under the leadership of Moses. This is before Joshua leads the great armies of Israel. But Israel under the leadership of Moses, and they have soundly defeated the Midianites. So in Numbers 31, starting with verse 48, after the victory, and the officers, which were over thousands of the host, the captains of thousands and the captains of hundreds came near unto Moses. And they said unto Moses, thy servants have taken the sum of the men of war which are under our charge, and there lacketh not one man of us. We have therefore brought an oblation for the Lord, what every man hath gotten of jewels of gold, chains and bracelets, rings, earrings, and tablets to make an atonement for our souls before God. The first thing I would like us to see about our thanksgiving is our thanksgiving is an oblation. Now, it's a word we don't use much in our modern English today, but it's a King James word. It's found multiple times. An oblation is an offering of praise and worship to God. Here Israel has fought the Midianites. They were up against a good team. And after the battle, the captains of thousands start counting their men. And they say to the lieutenants, count your men, count your men. And when they all were counted, they found out, there's nobody missing. They're not even on the injury list. They're not back in the tent with a sword and a leg. We're not missing a single man.
Glory.
And then you'll notice there in verse 50, it uses the word atonement. And it wasn't that they were paying anything other than saying, God, you did this. We are atoned. We are saved of thee. And they brought this offering. Hmm. Folks, God doesn't need my thanksgiving. God could do without my praise, but he desires it.
That's right.
And folks, the first thing we need to understand about thanksgiving is that our thanksgiving is not to our country. We love it, but it's not to our country. Our thanksgiving is not to our veterans. We love them and we appreciate them, but it's not our thanksgiving to God.
That's right.
Why does this country still exist? Because God has preserved us. And so it is an oblation. Folks, I guarantee you that the percentage of Americans that viewed Thanksgiving this year as a worship offering to God was very, very small. But folks, I also guarantee you that on the first American Thanksgiving in 1621, every one of them, the pagans alike, understood that they were preserved by God.
Mm-hmm.
And so folks, our worship, our thanksgiving is an oblation to God. And if you look down into the psalm we read in verse 9 again, I will take no book of thy house. Verse 10, every beast of the forest is mine. Verse 11, I know the fowls of the mountain. Verse 12, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 13, I will eat the flesh of bulls. Verse 14 is what God wants. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Look at verse 23, the last verse of the psalm. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. And folks, in verse 14, that word thanksgiving, and in verse 23, that word praise, are the exact same word in the original. Thanksgiving is praise. It's an oblation to God. Praise is thanksgiving. It's an oblation to God. In Psalm 107, 21 and 22, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We have no right to come into the presence of God. He is the great king. He holds the scepter. And in times of old, if the king did not extend his scepter, the person that dared to come into his presence was killed immediately. But God has extended the scepter of his righteousness to us. God has extended the scepter of his grace, and therefore we come. We are sinners with no right to come into his presence, but the grace of God has preserved us in the presence of God. And so first of all, may we see that our thanksgiving is an offering and oblation to the Most High. It's not about this country that we love.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about him.
Amen.
And so we read for our call to worship into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. But not only is our thanksgiving an oblation, it's also an ovation. It's an ovation. I'm not talking about the Pentecostals when they yell, oh, let's everybody give God a cheer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I was a young child, I was at a youth gathering, and the leader of the youth gathering, with all sincerity and with the best intentions, had us singing, hoorah for Jesus, hoorah for Jesus. Someone in the crowd yelling, hoorah for Jesus. One, two, three, four. Who are we going to cheer? And I understand what they meant. That's not what I'm talking about here. But folks, when we give thanksgiving to God, when we give praise to him, it is the heart of the redeemed screaming like 100,000 in a stadium, oh God, you are holy. Sadly, the Church of God has less energy for praise for Jehovah than a bunch of fans have for a football team. Our thanksgiving is a roaring cheer for God. Mm-hmm. And folks, think about this. When Christ was entering Jerusalem, and the children were crying, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" And the scribes and Pharisees said, "Make you be quiet." What did Jesus say? If they don't cheer, the very rocks. If these keep silence, the very rocks will cry out. Psalm 47. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. God is going up with a shout. The Lord with a sound of trumpet. Sing praise to God. Sing praises. Sing praise unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Folks, our thanksgiving is a glorious cheer. Mm-hmm. It's a glorious ovation. A glorious praise to the wonders of God. And look down to our text in verse 6. Psalm 50 and verse 6. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness. Folks, all nature cheers for the goodness of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. 1 Chronicles 16:31. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice in all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord. Folks, creation declares the glory of God. Creation applauds the Creator. May we see that our thanksgiving, first of all, is a great offering and oblation of praise. But then our praise also is an ovation, an applaud for the Lord. But it's more significant than that. Because at therapy the other day, the folks were talking about a ball game that took place on Sunday. And they were saying, we did this and we did that and we beat them and so on. Not a one of them were present. Mm-hmm. They didn't have uniforms. There was 11 people on the field, and they weren't among them. But folks, we have a true identification with the one whom, for whom we cheer.
That's right.
We're not spectators in this. Mm-hmm. We are participants in the battle. And we are made one with Christ. And so if anybody has cause to cheer for Jehovah, it is indeed the redeemed. And so our thanksgiving is an oblation, and it is an ovation. But thirdly, our thanksgiving is an opportunity. It's an opportunity. You understand that God does not accept the praises of the heathen. God doesn't take praise from tares. He takes praise from wheat. The devils believe and tremble, but they cannot praise the Lord. Mm. It is the redeemed that have this opportunity. But there's something unique about our thanksgiving being an opportunity. Turn with me to Psalm 146, the 146th Psalm. And there we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Psalm 146, the first two verses. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto the Lord while I have my being. And then that psalm is repeated in Psalm 104:33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise while I have my being. You realize that our praise today is very different than our praises in heaven. Yes. My father, who was not only my father, he was my pastor, he was my advisor, he was my counselor. He left this world long ago, 1991. And he is this very day, not this day, because they don't have days in heaven, it's all one. He is this very moment. No, they don't have moments in heaven. They're timeless. But right now, he's praising the Lord, but his praise is different. You see, in heaven, they are freed from sin. In heaven, they are freed from the cares of this world. In heaven, understand me correctly, they have nothing to do but praise the Lord, but that's not a bad thing. That's their whole purpose. They are there for his glory. But it is only in this life that we praise of volition. Okay? There are a lot of people that call themselves believers today who are off from worship somewhere. There are a lot of people who would name the name of Christ, but their life shows no praise to him. But here we find the psalmist saying, while I have my being, I will praise the Lord. And in Isaiah 38, verse 18 and 19, we find, for the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pits cannot hope for thy truth. The living shall praise thee. As I do this day, the father to the children shall say, make known thy truth. Now, folks, that's not a contradiction. As Brother Vince very clearly pointed out in Scripture, when you find something that seems to be a contradiction, it's not. Study it out further. But there's a difference here in our praise. Right now, while you live in a body of flesh, you have an opportunity to praise the Lord in a way which they in heaven do not. And so our thanksgiving is an opportunity. Psalm 30, verse 9 and following, what profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, that be thou mine helper. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may praise thee and not be silent. The psalmist says there, you've put off my sackcloth. Some of you have expressed at various times your grief over past lives, over what you used to be, over your Saul days as opposed to your Paul days. God has transformed you, has made you a new creature. This is the opportunity to praise him.
That's right.
And so our thanksgiving is an oblation to the Most High God. Our thanksgiving is to us this glorious opportunity at this time to praise him with the roaring ovation of the soul. But fourthly, our thanksgiving is an obligation. It's not option. It's obligation. We are obligated to praise. Look at verse 15 of our text there in Psalm 50. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
Mm-hmm.
Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver, and thou shalt glorify me. Glorify me. And it may not exactly appear that way, but it's a command. It's an imperative. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt glorify me. You'll call upon me, and I will deliver you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And thou shalt glorify me. Praise is an obligation. It is mm-hmm. not an option
yeah.
for the child of God. I won't have you turn to these verses because you couldn't keep up with me, but listen closely as I do a run through verses in Psalms. 105 verse 1, who give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. 106 1, praise the Lord, who give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. 107:1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. 118:1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. 118:29, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. 136:1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. 136:2, O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. 136:26, O give thanks unto God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Do you think he doesn't mean it?
Right.
Do you think he would repeat it over and over and over again if he didn't mean for his people to give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever? It's an obligation.
That's right.
Folks, if your heart is not thankful, your heart is not right with God. And if your heart is not thankful and not right with God, you need to search and try your heart whether you be in the faith or no. For God's people will be a thankful people. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." When I was a young fella seeking the will of God, this verse, this is the will of God. You're not sure what God wants you to do in the future. You're not sure about education, not sure about jobs. You're not sure about marriage. Lord, what should I do? Well, this very tells you, give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Give thanks. God will direct the other things. He will direct your paths.
Mm.
But if you're seeking the will of God, this one's pretty plain. Give thanks.
Mm.
This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks always unto God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth." We're bound to give thanks to God for his elect. And so our thanksgiving is an oblation, it's an ovation, it's an opportunity, it's an obligation. But our thanksgiving should be our occupation.
Mm-hmm.
It should occupy us at all times. What are you? Well, I'm a plumber. Well, no, let us be a thanksgiver to God who plumbs.
Right.
I've mentioned before that I had a very dear friend many years ago who was a servant of the Most High God who happened to be a truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
And never left a truck stop without leaving some tracks.
Mm.
You know, what are you? Well, may we be thanksgivers to God.
Yeah, that's right.
Above all else, servants of the Most High God. It's an obligation, and it should be our occupation. It should occupy us at all times. Turn over with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 17 through 20. Ephesians 5, verse 17, "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." You see the tie into our last point. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." If you've ever been to a ball game, I've been to one in my life, someone gave me a ticket. There's alcohol everywhere, and by the end of the game, half of them don't know who won because they're filled with wine. But be not filled with wine. In fact, at the ball games, I understand baseball games, they won't sell alcohol now after a certain inning. I don't know. I've heard that they stopped selling the alcohol because so many people were going home drunk and getting in fights after the game and stuff. Not my world.
Right.
"Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always."
Mm.
There's your occupation. "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Folks, I wish I could say I gave thanks always. It's hard for me to give thanks for flat tires and broken things. But it says giving thanks always. It should occupy us. And folks, how much better things would be if we gave thanks even for the hard times. May thanksgiving be our occupation. In Psalm 119, verse 62, "At midnight I will arise and give thanks unto thee." I know a lot of us have sleepless nights. And, wow, can we arise at midnight, rise and give thanks to the Lord, praying unto our God. Psalm 30, verse 11 and 12, "Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. We had this verse earlier, but consider verse 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and be not silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Mm. And so, our thanksgiving is an oblation. It's an offering to God. It is an ovation, a great cheer to God. It is an opportunity, an obligation, but oh, may it be our occupation. I went through the multitude of times that Scripture says, oh, give thanks unto God. Listen again as I read a few verses. These are all in Psalm 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works unto the children of men. 107:8. 107:15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works unto the children of men. We've heard that before. Verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works unto the children of men. That's number 3. Verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works unto the children of men. Verse 31. That's 4 times in the same psalm. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works unto the children of men. May we be occupied with praise. And so, I read from our call to worship this morning, but Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. God is holy who dwells, inhabits the praises of the elect. He is here in our praises. He creates the fruit of our lips. Well, I mentioned at the outset that the unbeliever, the non-elect, cannot praise the Lord. He can shout all kinds of things. But when the child of God praises the Lord, he praises the Lord by the help of the Lord. God inhabits the praises of Israel. But Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in Thee, and Thou didst deliver them. Wow, what a verse for today. Our fathers trusted in Jehovah, and Jehovah delivered them. They were safe. Oh, some of them died. Some of them were beheaded. They suffered greatly. The pilgrims, Puritans, came here because of persecution. Some of them died in that first year, but God delivered them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not ashamed. And so, may we as God's people truly give thanksgiving in a way that the unbeliever does not know. Let us stand for prayer. Father, we thank You this morning for Your word and for Your truth. Lord, we thank You that we are able to give an oblation unto Thee. We thank You that we are able to applaud the goodness of God. We thank You, Lord, that You have given to us this obligation, O Father. And Lord, we pray that it may truly consume us. May it be our occupation. Mm-hmm. Lord, bless these truths to our hearts. Make us a thankful people. Forgive us for our thanklessness, we pray.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.